this morning, I'm going to be focusing on 1 John chapter 5, and in particular verses 4 and 5. But obviously, I'm going to speak this morning in the context of what many of us call today Remembrance Day. And growing up, I often heard my parents and my grandparents referring to it as Armistice Day. And to me, armistice was a big word, and I had no idea what it meant. So in preparing this message, I went to the dictionary, and this is the dictionary definition that is given. An agreement made by opposing sides to stop fighting for a certain time. So it wasn't a complete peace. It was just an agreement. We will stop fighting at this time. People often refer to that war, the 1914-18 war, as the war to end all wars. And yet the reality is that even though the armistice was signed after 4 years of fighting on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, in just over 20 years, the two main countries, or a number of the countries who were involved in that first war, were involved in the Second World War, which in many ways was a much greater battle. And during 1945, when surrender was arranged, there were 2 days of significance. One was the 8th of May in 1945, and it's recorded in history as VE Day, as Victory in Europe. The other was VJ Day, and that was the 14th or 15th of August, and that was Victory in Japan. And people since that time have sort of looked back to those dates as dates when peace was achieved. But the reality is, isn't it, that not long after the Second World War was finished, there was the Korean War, which lasted from 1950 to 1953. The Vietnam War was an incredibly long fight, with battles going on between 1955 and 1975. Those of us who are younger will remember the Gulf War in 1990. And if we've mentioned the names of Afghanistan, Syria, Yemen, all these countries remind us that we don't live in a world of peace, but we live in a world that is at conflict with other members and other nations. Those of us who've grown up in the UK will remember what we refer to as the Troubles in Northern Ireland. And they stretched primarily from October 1968 to April 1998. And yet there are times when this still continues. So I suppose these questions, or these facts, throw up the questions. Have we ever known victory? Have we ever known peace? What is victory? What is peace? Well, I used those initials earlier, didn't I? VE Day and VJ Day. And I'd like you to have those initials in the back of your mind as we look at our text this morning. But I don't want you to be thinking of victory in Europe or victory in Japan, but rather victory on earth. Victory outside of Jerusalem. Now, if we turn to the verses of Scripture that I want us to focus on this morning, I'll just read them again for us. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world, except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Three great statements I want us to look at this morning. The victor, the source of victory, and the position of victory. But before looking at that, I want us to understand the hopeless position in which we find ourselves today if we are going to look on a human level. I've given you that catalogue of wars that have marked the 20th and the 21st century. The 20th and 21st centuries show us that world peace is an almost impossible dream. And in fact, the Bible states that. The Bible says, the Lord Jesus Christ, the night when he was betrayed, said, "In this world you will have tribulation. There will be trials. There will be battles." And why do we have these battles? Well, many of us would want to say, well, it's because of this political reason, it's because of that political reason. But James is far more direct than that. In James 4 and verse 1, he says, "What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask." And James there is very direct on what causes trouble in this world. And we need to understand that. That is Jesus' opinion. And James, his brother, has written that. But Peter tells us that not only will there be trouble in the world, but there will also be trouble in the church. 1 Peter 4 verse 12 says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening." And the Apostle Paul tells us that trials, struggles, problems don't just go on out there or in the organization of the church, but trials, troubles, battles go on within ourselves. The things that we want to do, we don't do. The things that we do, we don't actually want to do. And friends, if we were to sit down and candidly examine the world in which we live and candidly examine ourselves, we would have to say that left to ourselves, we would destroy ourselves and destroy each other, particularly as we choose to ignore the word of God and as we choose to live in disobedience to his word. So that is the position in which we find ourselves. So how do we find the victory in this? Well, here I want to come to these verses. And I want to speak to you, first of all, of the victor. There is victory. We have got two words that occur in these two verses. They are the words overcome, and they are the words victory. They actually both come from the same root Greek word. And it's a very popular Greek word. Probably the majority of us don't realize it, and it's not pronounced like this in Greek, but it's the word that adorns many training shoes, kit bags, polo shirts. It's the word Nike. And it literally means to carry off the victory. And we have this assurance here that there is victory, that there is peace with God. Now, verse 4 speaks about everyone who has been born of God. And the victory cannot be gained on our own. We cannot deal with the trials of this world in and of ourselves. We need help from the outside. And that strength comes from God. That strength is given to those who have been born of God. Now, this term, born of God, or as John puts it in his gospel, born again, shows us that things need to change in our lives. What does the word born mark in our lives? It marks the day that life began, the day that a new life was ushered into this world. And what John is saying when he talks about being born of God or being born again of the Spirit, he is saying to us that each and every one of us needs a new life. Our lives need to start again. What effectively John is saying, what Scripture says, is you cannot patch up the old life. If you've got your Bible, let me show you the number of times that John uses this term, born, in this letter. Go back to chapter 2 and verse 29. And then he says this, "If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him." In chapter 3 and verse 9, "No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God." Then chapter 4 and verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever has been born of God knows God." Then this passage that we have read together this morning, chapter 5 and verse 1, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him." And then here in verse 4, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world." So John is saying, if we want to know peace, if we want to know victory over the battle of sin in our lives, then we need to be born again. We need to be born of God. We need to ask God to give us new life, to give us a fresh start. And that brings us to our second point. So we have seen the victor. The victor is the one who is born of God. And then we see the source of victory. And this is here in verse 4. At the end of the verse it says, "And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith." Now, literally, in Greek, this term, "our faith," says, "the faith of us." And what John is saying here is that there is such a thing as the Christian faith. It can be stated and it can be believed. So there are things that have to be believed. People coming into membership in this church, we give them a statement of faith, and we say to them, "This is what we believe." And the focus of our faith, the foundation of our faith, is the Word of God and all that it teaches us about Jesus, the Son of God. And John is saying here, the victory that will overcome the battles in our lives are the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Christian faith is a list of things that we have to believe. But Christian faith is more than that. Christian faith is living by faith. It is trusting God. It is choosing to turn away from sin and to live the life that God wants us to live. It is making the decision that when we begin the day, we will pray, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Knowing that God's way is always the better way, that God's way is the way that will give us life. Friends, I want to ask you, do you trust God day by day? Or when the problems come, do you just look to yourself? Do you say, how do I work this out? No, we have to be people of faith. We have to be those who trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, when he gives us the communion service in 1 Corinthians 11, he says to you, says to us, for I received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you. In other words, he had received a message from the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Christ. And he says, I haven't changed it. I've passed it on. And Paul, when he was writing to Timothy, the next generation of preachers after the apostles, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, the things that you have heard me say before many witnesses, commit to faithful men that they might teach others also. And the point that Paul is making is that there are things that we have to believe. There are truths that must always be a part of our teaching as Christians. There's no negotiation. We cannot place somebody alongside the Lord Jesus Christ and say, well, they can help us to God. Friends, nobody can help us to God except the Lord Jesus Christ. We might benefit from great preachers, but we must never place their sermons or their books alongside the Bible, because we have got all the truth that we need within the Bible. In fact, God has some very strong words for those who would choose to add to the Bible. Revelation 22, some of the last words in the Bible. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book. So do you see that, friends? That the source of victory is in the truth that is taught in this book. It is in the person who is the focus of this book, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And we are to have our trust fully and completely in him. So it is possible to be a victor. We can overcome the battles of this world. The source of that victory is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our living faith, having come to him, having been born of God and started a new life. But then the third thing that I want to see is this morning is the position of victory. Verse 5 says this, who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, in actual fact, verse 5 is an echo or a reinforcement of verse 4. And the beginning of verse 5 says, who is it that overcomes the world? And the beginning of verse 4 says, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. So you see an echo of this idea of overcoming. And then the second part of verse 5 is a development of the second part of verse 4. Except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Verse 4 says, And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So you've got that word believe and that word faith. And we are not to lose sight of this, that the Christian life is a life of faith. It is a life of actively trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. I said to you earlier that we are to know what we believe, and we are to believe that we are sinners. We are to believe that God has spoken to us through the Bible. We are to believe that Jesus, as Dave was saying in the children's talk this morning, came into the world to give his life a ransom for many. And we can actually get to that point where we say, yep, I can tick that box, I can tick that box, I believe that, I believe that. But we can just go on living the life that we've always lived. But I want to ask you this morning, friends, are you living a life of faith? Have you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? And I'm not asking now, did you put your trust in him when you believed and you confessed your sin many, many years ago? But have you put your trust in him today? Are you in a position where you are relying today just on the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't know if you remember, a fortnight or so ago, there was that terrible crash outside Leicester City football ground. A helicopter took off, and it said that it seemed to circle in the air, or spin in the air, and then fell to the ground. Ever since that, that form of helicopter, that particular make of helicopter, has been recalled. It has been grounded. Why? Because they need to check the tail rotor on those helicopters to see if they are reliable. I want to ask you this morning, friends, is your faith reliable? Are you trusting in Jesus and Jesus only? Have you come to him to forgive your sin? When you face the battles and temptations in your life, do you call upon the Holy Spirit that Jesus has sent into this world to help you win those battles? Because here, John is talking about overcoming. He's talking about overcoming the false teachers, but he's also talking about overcoming the temptations that will come into our lives. We have to believe. It's non-negotiable. We have to believe that God alone can save us. The question in verse 5 is, who is it that overcomes the world? The answer is, except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. What is this verse doing? It is humbling us. Have you got 3, 4, 5 degrees and you think that you're a cut above the rest? Have you got such a good, healthy bank balance and a number of different pensions so that you feel as though you will cope with life and that somehow you're better than other people? John says, forget all of those things. Who is it that overcomes the world? And you could change this word except for no one. No one except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Friends, I have to say to you this morning that without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have got no hope of eternal life. God willing, in a fortnight's time, I will develop these verses. But look at verses 11 and 12 in this passage this morning. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Now that life is eternal life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have eternal life. In fact, in his gospel, John says, and whoever does not have the Son, on him rests the judgment and the condemnation of God. With Jesus, we have eternal life. Without him, we do not have eternal life. Friends, let me ask you this morning, to you, who is Jesus? Who do you think Jesus is? Well, verse 5 tells us quite clearly that he is the Son of God. The people to whom John was writing were being attacked by other teachers. And they were saying, yeah, Jesus is okay, but you need this teacher. Friend, Jesus was not simply a teacher. Jesus was not a guru. Jesus was not a pundit. Jesus was and is the eternal Son of God, the one who has existed throughout eternity. He is equal with God, and together God in Trinity created this world. Jesus is equal with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. And he came into this world to save the world, that we might know peace with God. Recently, I was talking to someone who was having to go through surgery, and they said to me, I am so grateful that the chief surgeon himself is going to do the operation. He is not going to trust it to anyone else. Friends, when God wanted to save this world, who did he trust? He trusted no one other than himself, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God. Jesus Christ came to give the victory. And he has gained the victory. He paid the price of our sin by dying, because the wages of sin is death. He won the victory by conquering death and rising from the grave. In World War I, Winston Churchill fought in the battles. In World War II, he directed the battles from the House of Commons and from the place of government. With the Lord Jesus Christ, it is different. Christ directed the battles before he won the battle. Throughout eternity, he had been preparing to come into this world. He came into this world and he faced the enemy, Satan, who would want to condemn each and every one of us to hell. It seemed that Satan had won the battle. It seemed that he had crushed the Son of God. But just as it said back in Genesis, the serpent, Satan, struck the heel of Jesus. But as Jesus died on the cross, so he crushed the head of our enemy. He gained the victory. Brethren, sisters, this morning we can say we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, because Jesus has saved us, he has made us children of God. Look at verse 18. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. In the first part of the verse, born of God is referring to us as Christians. In the second part of the verse, he who was born of God refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is God saying? He says, for those who are born of God and demonstrate their new birth by faith in Christ, I see them exactly as I see my Son. I want to say to you this morning, I want to ask you, friends, do you know victory in your life? Do you know that your sin has been dealt with? Do you know peace with God? Jesus came, he fought the battle in order that we might know peace, not here on earth, but peace with God. Not just for our 70 or 80 years here on earth, but for eternity. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe? Let's sing our